population? Well, the Century Initiative is dedicated to doing exactly that. It's a group of prominent Canadians who are advocating for a massive increase in the number of immigrants who attract. If Canada sticks with its current patterns, our population will be anywhere from 51 to 53 million by the end of the century. The Century Initiative wants to double that to 100 million, about triple our current population. Sherry Austin is the Chief Executive Officer of the Century Initiative. She's with me in our Toronto studio. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Peter. Happy to be here.
So 100 million, that's a big number. How did you even arrive at that?
So, I mean, we recognize that it may be counterintuitive in that sitting on a freeway or looking for affordable housing, it may not strike you as needing more people. We're right now at 310,000 or so immigrants per year coming in.
Right.
We are suggesting that this be somewhere around 450,000 a year, which
is
not massive.
The government agreed to up the numbers, but
they
not nearly as high as you guys.
That's true. So last year they committed to a three-year gradual increase,
right.
310, 320, 330.
Will that close the gap, or is
no,
it like...
No, we need to, as you said, triple the population. But tripling the population is something we've actually done in the past. From 1945 to the present, we tripled the population already. You know, another perspective on it, you know, 100 million is a nice round number, and recognize that it may be a bit arbitrary and not dogmatic on our part. There is some evidence that countries, when they hit 100 million, they really start gunning in terms of the economy. U.S., for example.
When did they hit 100 million?
In 1920. Yeah.
So, I mean, describe that image for me then. What does Canada, with a population of 100 million, what does it look like?
Well, it's definitely looking like bigger cities. I hope that it looks also like bigger towns and rural areas, because we definitely need to think about how to attract people to smaller areas, that many of which are, I wouldn't necessarily say dying, but they're suffering economically and losing people.
I think back to... My parents-in-law came to this country in 1967 and ended up in North Battleford, Saskatchewan. We've been struggling with that move to try to get people to go away from the Torontos and the Montreals and the Vancouvers and hit the smaller towns. We haven't had enough success at that. And
That's
if we're going to increase our numbers, how do we address that problem?
Well, I think part of the answer is public policy and making sure that the incentives are good and the information on where people are needed are good. And that we can accommodate not only individuals or individual families coming, but communities of people who will be more comfortable, at least at the beginning in Canada, with a group.
So in the short term then, is there a cost associated with increasing our numbers that much that has its economic benefit down the
yeah.
road? But obviously there's upfront costs to making this
happen. Well, I think realistically there absolutely will be upfront costs, both immigration directly, because we need to get better at settling and integrating immigrants, and potentially supporting them beyond the initial few months or year. So definitely, I don't think we should kid ourselves about the cost. There will be an upfront investment on immigration specifically, but also in trying to attack all these other issues,
right,
like urban infrastructure and incentives and all sorts of things. So yeah, it's a big, big audacious goal.
Not everybody is on board with letting more people in. There's a lot. There are as many people talking about building walls as there are about opening up doors. What is your response to those who say there's too many people here already and we don't need more people in Canada?
Well, I think it's short-sighted, and a lot of people who take that view think about it in a very immediate and local context rather than in a national context and an economic context. That said, I don't discount the valid fears and concerns of people, and I don't think anybody is suggesting we should just open our doors and let anyone and everyone in. Some of it, I think, is conflating the two issues, which are quite separate, one being irregular border crossing and immigration in general.
Right.
And those are two quite different things.
They are. And let's try to draw a line in the conversation here about who are, like, what are the specific, because you're talking almost exclusively about economic people who can come here with specific sets of skills to do specific jobs at a certain economic level already in the home country. So who is it you're talking about targeting and about bringing into Canada?
We're talking about economic immigrants primarily.
Like doctors, engineers,
but also skilled trades. And general laborers, let's not forget, we will need caregivers for all of these old people and people to work on infrastructure and other things. So it is a mix of people, people wanting to contribute to the economy, people wanting to have children. They're also increasingly interested in other countries, and other countries being very forceful in trying to attract them, like Australia, formerly perhaps the United States, Great Britain. So it's going to be a more competitive space, and the more quickly we can act to figure out who we want and how, the better.
And on the other side of that line, if we're going to make that demarcation, are refugees, irregular border crossings, people that that don't fit that particular demographic, I guess. What is the importance in the view of this organization of making sure that we do make room for the other side of that line, people that don't have the skills, don't have the economic background, but want to come to Canada because they need to get out of whatever awful place they're in?
No, we absolutely do believe that we need to continue that balance. Humanitarian immigration and refugees. We have international obligations, but we also have ethical obligations to make sure that we do our fair share to help bring people to a better life.
And as we balance those, I mean, we talked about the costs associated with ramping up a program, with welcoming people, dealing with, you know, sort of language and recertification, as well as welcoming in refugees. How do we pay for that, or is that sort of a down payment now in terms of a longer term economic gain?
I think there's got to be some of it being long term view and short term pain. I think we need to be prepared to put more money into certain things that will make sure our growth is successful, and not a horror show like it could be if we don't give proper thought to this.
I want to talk about that. I mean, what's at stake here? If we don't do this, or if we do some portion of this and get it wrong, what does Canada look like 100 years out if we don't solve this very fundamental problem?
Canada will struggle financially. Governments won't have enough money to pay for some of the benefits and services and infrastructure that we've come to expect in this country. So, you know, the economic implications are significant. I also don't want to lose sight of the exciting opportunity that we have to create a more diverse, a more interesting, dynamic population. We have more or less accommodated a vast array of people from around the world who live in peace, and many of whom are entrepreneurs. Immigrants have a higher proportion of entrepreneurs among them than Canadians born here.
On your website, it's written, I think it's an Adam Davidson quote, the guy who started Planet Money, saying, you know, the economics of immigration is a debate that was argued over long ago, that this is settled science. And yet, we still have this debate. If the answers are so clear, why do we get so caught up on this?
We're far from alone in that. As I'm sure you can appreciate in the world, there's certainly a lot of angst about immigration and all sorts, economic and refugees all over the world. I think it's an exciting opportunity to be proactive about figuring out what we want to look like in 50 years and 100 years. And it's also an opportunity to leave a better world for our kids and grandkids.
I mean, if you could sit down at the kitchen table with most Canadians, do you think most of them are on board? Do you think people support this writ large?
I think most people are still generally in favor of more immigration, or this current levels of immigration at least. Multiculturalism is something we're very proud of in this country. But no, I don't think your average person or even your non-average person will immediately believe without further explanation that we need significantly more people in this country.
Well, it's fascinating stuff, and I really appreciate coming in. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much.
Sherry Austin was in our Toronto studio. She's the Chief Executive Officer of the Century Initiative, a nonprofit organization dedicated to increasing Canada's population to 100 million by the end of this century.